is 6 o'clock on Wednesday, July 20th. We're going to call our work session to order. First item on the agenda is superintendent's report. Welcome back, Brad. First meeting.
Yes, thank you. I am delighted to be here. I've had a great couple of days. And I actually have a PowerPoint, a couple slides.
Fantastic.
So I use Twitter. I use Twitter for good news, and that was one of my initial things that I wanted to make sure that I captured my very first day. So bear with my terrible selfie, because I'm really not the best on that. But that is my Twitter handle. I did change that to, I used Smyrna Soup. And so I tweeted out that picture. I've gotten quite a few. I think the last time I checked, there were about 45 likes. And for me, that was great, because I really don't tweet out much at all. So that was good. And my first day was just amazing. Very warm welcome from the central office. We had a meeting with the administrators about some discipline, a discipline application. So I got to meet them. And then the next day, we took tour. Deb took me on a tour of the district. And so that was, it's just very eye-opening. I've driven through here many, many days and many times. Stopped at the Smyrna rest stop, stopped at the Smyrna diner. That was kind of like our landmark if we were going south. And to just see how much, I guess there were two big ahas. One was how much farmland there is and how much water is around. And then the second big aha as we were driving was how much development is happening. So kind of a dichotomy between the two, and just interesting in that regard. I did get to see all the schools, and so next week I plan to start actually visiting the inside. Kudos to the system and Roger's side of the house in terms of grounds maintenance, custodial staff. The buildings look amazing, and as Chris mentioned, JVM is 100 years old, and it's just a great-looking building. We saw the amazing floor, and that looked great as well. So just, you've done a wonderful job of really maintaining your buildings, and it was a great 2 days. I also met with Deb and I met with the school, the chief state officers. So we had a meeting there, so I got to meet them. And then today I was here. We had a couple construction meetings with Roger, Deb, Chris, and I. So getting up to speed on those projects, very interesting. And then I did walk up to the other building, and that's amazing when you walk in, because it's been completely redone. So I got to know some people in there. So really, what I tweeted out was, a new chapter has begun. Follow along to share, watch our story unfold. And that's what I do plan to do, and promote the system through this. And actually, Sandy and I tomorrow have a meeting to talk a little bit about some other things. So very excited about that. And really, I just feel so fortunate to be here, to be among an amazing community. The second slide that I have that I want to share is that as I'm getting acclimated to the community, I wanted to just highlight, and I plan to do this every meeting, highlight someone that works or is a community member in the community. And so this is Lizette Barnes. She was one of my first meetings here, welcoming me to the district. And so I just asked her a couple of questions, but one of the questions that I said was, what makes Smyrna School District special? And she said, the system is very close-knit family. Family is the best way to describe it. And her direct quote really was, it is not just a place to work, it is a place to call home. And then I asked Deb about what were some hashtags that we were using, and so that's what you see in the bottom. But I wanted to give a shout out to Lizette for helping me, and eventually that will, we'll tweet that out and get that out through social media as well. And, you know, as an administrator, I sit in a lot of meetings, and sometimes the positivity around what we do isn't told. And so I just feel as part of my job, part of my vision is to unfold the story for people to know the amazing things that happen in the district. So this will be one way that I plan to do that. And then my third slide is I have found that all roads lead to Smyrna. So as I have met people, I'll ask, so are you from Smyrna? Are you from Clayton? Some have said yes, and so many people have come from Delaware. Those are all the towns that were shared with me. And then some people have come from Maryland, including myself. And some people live in Earlville. Some have come from Elkton and now live here. And then we have some people who are from New York and New Jersey. And then, which actually is not under to be... It is not a town in New York, but the state of New Jersey. And then Pennsylvania, there are some people from the Philly area, and then Springfield, I think, is a suburb of that. Mm-hmm. So I'm just finding out that this is the place to be, and I think that the title of home and all reads lead to really speak to that family feel that it is a home, it's not just a place to work. So I am, as I said, very fortunate to have been selected and to be a part of this. I just look forward to figuring out where all the roads do lead as I get out into our buildings and meet some students. We have summer camp happening, so I want to see some students in action and get to talk and meet them and their families. And so that's all I have tonight, and then I think Deb has some other things, but that's for 3 days in. I thought three slides would come in. So with that,
Thank you so much, Dr. Brown. Welcome aboard, and I know that you're anxious to get started, the team is anxious to get started, and it's great to finally see that to fruition, so thank you. And thank you for the team for welcoming and answering questions and what you have done and will continue to do. So thank you all very much. Appreciate it. Okay. Did you have anything else on the superintendent's report, or is your statement? Okay. So Ms. Judy for HR report.
Okay, so we're hiring, trying to hire. We do have a candidate to introduce this evening later on for our position at the middle school, our associate principal position. And I did finish some interviews today with the high school that were fruitful, so that will be coming soon. We started our social media campaign of trying to get out the word that we're hiring, so made some slides. Manny will help with that. We're going to do some standardization, but yet also make them different so that when people see them, they don't think, oh, that's just the same slide. It's just a whole lot of mind manipulation to get people to want to work here, but that's what you got to do these days. So our whole team has been sending those things out via all platforms that we use at the district. Still looking at growth units, so we are cleaning up our unit count after the rollover. Special Ed Department did a wonderful job of getting their numbers cleaned up for us. And we're going to start a campaign on like types of ways that you can become certified to teach. And alternative routes to certification is almost the go-to at this point. We're not seeing a lot of traditional routes of teaching. We're seeing the alternative routes. So those are the things that we're going to start doing. We have to start educating people on how to become a part of our team. They're not finding out on their own and then seeking us out, so we have to onboarding going on, so we've had some great vacations and people have gone away, and now we're making all those phone calls. Time to get your paperwork done. So get those things into us so we can be ready to go on August 24th. We're also campaigning for subs and trying to get that word out now. So retirees or students who can give us a day or two, we'll take it. We'll take what we can get. So that is that information as well is going out on all types of platforms. Since we made the determination, there will be no virtual option next year, so we'll have all of our kids back in the buildings, which is great. And we will have a wraparound program at Boys and Girls Club, all sites. So we have secured sites in all elementary and intermediate schools, and we have had some discussion from parents that there are waiting lists, very small waiting lists, I might add, because I've seen them, just a couple. And what the issue is not that they are closing that program, it's they are also holiday staff. So they're not going to bring kids in that they don't know that they will have the staff for. They have very stringent numbers that they are allowed to in a daycare setting as well. So there is a job fair on August 5th from 9 to 1 at JBM, an in-person job fair, so they'll be doing interviews on the spot. We will be promoting that for them as well because they serve our kids. So that will be something that you will see coming out. Community outreach is turning the tables and doing some, going back to some old things and trying to make them
asked before earlier, because I spun around and just said it. There's no tailor.
Keep you
also
active. Keep you also active.
Yeah. Yep. You listening to us, man?
Still.
We are back from executive session, and now I'm going to call the regular meeting to order. This is the July 20th, 7 o'clock board meeting, and I'm going to do roll call. So, Mr. Snow?
Here.
Mr. Seuss?
Here.
Ms. Malik? Here. Dr. Wilson?
Here.
And Christy is here. All right. Dr. Brown?
Here. Yeah.
We are going to now stand for the Pledge of Allegiance and moment of silence led by
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Changes to the agenda?
Yes, we do have one change, that is 7.5 agenda format discussion, and the change is designated by an asterisk, and we will continue that practice. If anything is added to the agenda after the initial week posting, week out posting. So that is the one change.
Make a motion to approve the changes to the agenda as discussed.
I have a motion on the table by Ms. Malik and a second by Dr. Wilson. I will call for the vote now. Mr. Snow?
Aye.
Mr. Seuss?
Aye.
Dr. Wilson?
Aye.
Ms. Malik?
Aye.
I vote yes. Motion carries 5-0. Next item on the agenda is 6, formal public comment. I believe we have one signed up, is that correct?
We have one. It is Ms. Jackson.
Ms. Jackson.
Who is our new SCA president. Hi, Kika.
Hello, everybody. So I just wanted to come today just to introduce myself for anybody that didn't know who I was as the newly appointed SCA, or Smart Educators Association president. I am Kanika Jackson, and I'm a math teacher at the high school. I've been teaching here for the last 12 years. This will be my 13th year. I do have a son who's in the district also. He's at JBM. He's in the 6th grade. And I just look forward to building a stronger relationship between SCA and the board and also the administrators in the district.
Thank you for coming
out tonight. Nice to meet you. And he was one of our participants at summer camp this week.
Yeah.
Great. Thank you so much. Okay, we're going to be moving on to item number 7, new business. Item 7.1, approval of board minutes from our July 6, 2022 meeting.
I move that we approve the board minutes from July 6.
Second.
I have a motion on the table by Mr. Snow and a second by Mr. Skuse. I'll call for the vote now. Mr. Snow?
Aye.
Mr. Skuse?
Aye.
Dr. Wilson?
Aye.
Ms. Malley?
Aye.
I vote aye. Vote carries 5-0. Item number 7.2, approval of monthly financial reports.
Madam President, I move to approve item number 7.2, the monthly financial report as submitted.
Second.
I have a motion on the table by Mr. Skuse and a second by Mr. Snow. Call for the vote now. Mr. Snow?
Aye.
Mr. Skuse?
Aye.
Dr. Wilson?
Aye.
Ms. Malik?
Aye.
I vote aye. Motion carries 5-0. Did we have
the sovereign just
Yeah. Okay.
Yes. Just to mention that that was a child nutrition report for June, and the balance of the district report will be prepared for the August meeting.
All right. Item 7.3, school choice for the 22-23 school year.
Madam President, 10 choice applications for inter-district transfer, 13 choice applications for intra-district transfer, 2 inter-district school choice terminations, and 7 intra-district school choice termination forms. 0 deny forms have been received for the 2022-2023 school year. It is the recommendation of the administration that the inter-district students, 1 through 10, the intra-district students, 1 through 13, the inter-district school choice terminations, 1 and 2, and the intra-school choice terminations 1 through 7 be admitted under choice.
Madam President, I move that we accept the school choice for the 2020-2021 school year as admitted.
I second. Thank you. The discussion.
May I correct that nomination or that motion to the 2022-2023 school year?
Just for discussion, when is that cutoff for that? That's still open to receive more?
So we receive choice applications via the regulation until the deadline in January, and then there's a caveat in the regulation that says that if you are to submit for choice after that date, you have to give a letter of reason. So every submission is followed up with a letter of reason as to why. For example, a student may live in African Mixed School District, they're building a house in Smyrna, the parents don't want them to start school late, so they're going to choice them for the portion of the year, and then once they become residents, they will terminate.
Okay.
So that's it.
Any other questions? All right, I have a motion by Ms. Malik, a second by Dr. Wilson, so I'll call for the vote now. Mr. Snow?
Aye.
Mr. Skuse?
Aye.
Dr. Wilson,
aye.
Ms. Malik,
aye.
I vote aye. Vote carries 5-0. Item number 7.4, the fiscal year 23 recommended budget preliminary submitted by the administration.
Madam President.
Do you want to say anything?
Just open the floor to questions. It is the same packet that was put together for the meeting earlier this month. So the changes that are there reflect the changes between July 6th and the June preparation. No changes at this point since July 6th.
Since the July 6th, nothing changed.
Okay. All right. Sorry.
Madam President, I move that we remove from the table the recommended budget for fiscal year 23 in its preliminary form.
Second.
I have a motion on to remove from the table item 7.4. So call for vote. Or any discussion? Good. Okay. So now I'll call for the vote. Mr. Snow?
Aye.
Mr. Skuse?
Aye.
Dr. Wilson?
Aye.
Ms. Malik?
Aye.
And I vote aye. Vote carries 5-0. All right, great. Thank you. Walk me through that.
Now we've got one more.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, so then now I have a vote for discussion.
The motion's open.
Right. The motion's open.
You asked for discussion.
Okay.
Sure. There is no. Because you actually asked for discussion previously, only on the table.
Okay.
Only on the table.
Okay. All right, so is there any discussion items now? No? So I call for a vote. No motion needed.
No motion.
All right, thank you. Okay. Mr. Snow?
Aye.
Mr. Skuse?
Aye.
Dr. Wilson?
Aye.
Ms. Malley?
Aye.
And I vote aye. Vote carries 5-0. Okay. Item 7.5, agenda format discussion. Okay, so there's a couple of things we're going to talk about as far as the agenda format. Well, we're not, this isn't voting.
Yeah,
this is
no
just
vote,
a discussion.
No action.
Yeah,
just discussion.
Okay.
Okay, so we discussed last meeting or sometime, yeah, about potential changes to the agenda. Here are my thoughts, and I'm open to hear anybody else's suggestions or ideas. Of course, I want to bring my thoughts on these things, but I'd like to add an old business section to the agenda. For instance, the preliminary budget that we had tabled would have.
We used to have a
technically
business.
Fallen under the whole business.
Yeah.
Whole business is allowed, other districts do use it. It's not something that we're prevented from using. So we'd like to see that added. And I know that a lot of times it would be just a blank column, which is moved past. But for record keeping and cleanliness, you know, situations where, you know, we have a table item or we have an item we want to discuss later, we could go through those under the whole business tab.
I think we even voted on second readings fell under.
That was out of three, yes, ma'am.
Yeah.
I would also, that was my first thing. Do we do all these now and then everybody else together? Okay. My second thing was I would like to see, just like old business, a board policy session that would, you know, just lump them all together, and that would then encompass your first readings, your second readings, your third readings, all into one area. Don't know if it matters, but if we're no longer going to make the decision to live stream, then at least people who only are concerned with the board policy, they would know exactly time-wise, kind of when they needed to make sure they were present, as they work around family work, other obligations. It would help them plan their visit to our wonderful board meetings a little better, possibly.
So it would be a separate section like personnel?
Yep. Third thing is I would like to move the changes to the agenda section to immediately following public comment instead of immediately prior to public comment. On the off chance that there was a situation where something that came up in public comment we would want to add as an emergency agenda, we wouldn't then have to vote on changes to the agenda twice. Does that make sense?
Does, but we normally, public comment, we normally don't respond to. It's always, it's, at least we have in the past had public comment speak freely, we don't answer, and we don't move an action of that night, right?
Well, in the new policy, did we, are we receiving the comments prior to the meeting?
It's not the full comment.
Okay,
comments.
Just to
so
that
it's
okay.
Who it is.
I couldn't remember talking
about it. We decided not to do the full comment.
My main concern was, like, the situation that they had in Cape, we could then choose to immediately vote to go into executive session based off of the changes to the agenda without actually having to say, we don't want to change the agenda, but now we want to add an emergency executive session. That was kind of my whole process.
We always can go to executive session at
any
time.
Okay.
We can go to executive session at any time.
Right.
I'm just saying that is to discuss something that we can discuss publicly. But I'm not.
Not on
yeah,
any
yeah,
of these.
Not,
just
yeah.
My eyes up.
I mean, I like the other ones. I'm just a little. Because normally the public comment is not for us to immediately react that night on. We've never had that situation. I'm not saying that, you know, we would ever be in that situation. But the public comment is an opportunity for them to speak. It normally doesn't cause a reaction on our part.
No, it doesn't. And if it does for some reason, we can always go to.
And we've always been
executive session.
Yeah, typically it would be an executive session issue.
That we would then possibly bring into.
If it's not an emergency.
Which we actually, or we also say that if there's something that's of sensitive, they also can speak with us as well. So that's on there.
But you still reserve the right for those things without any policy.
Yeah.
I'm not as hung up on that one. Let's see. Item number four. At our state training, they were talking about what you can and cannot discuss in executive session. And because of that, and other board members there, so they had a discussion section on their agenda so that you could discuss non-public but not, or non-privileged but non-voting information. Is that something that y'all had a desire in the past? Has it come up? Again, this is just something, you know, as a group that came up.
We've always just kind of discussed the policies as we've gone along, but nothing on the outside unless it was on the agenda, just like this situation.
Okay, so so it's fine to just keep adding this agenda item, not as a discussion item. Matters don't debate.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a non-action.
Non-action.
Yeah.
Fifth item is, while maintaining the board president's right to accept and decline any matter, as well as setting the final agenda, I'd like to establish a time frame for board members to submit agenda items for consideration. My thought is 14 days prior to a regularly scheduled meeting, board members could begin submitting items. This allows the board president time to review, seek additional information, and make a determination prior to the first posting of the agenda. This would minimize the agenda changes after first posting, while still allowing the ability to further shape the agenda.
So, you have a 2 week that you have the agenda. Let me just make sure I hear you correctly. So, do you want 2 weeks prior to the meeting for me to open up ideas or items for on the agenda? And then that makes it to the week before's person that we're obligated to do. We have to do an agenda 1 week out. So are you 2 weeks, so are we a week?
We'd be a week prior to that, so two weeks prior to the meeting.
Okay.
You know, because then my thought is, and I'm scatterbrained and I know that, so I'll have something pop into my head, and I'll shoot you an email tomorrow morning at 5 a.m., and then we get to the agenda time, like, you know, Chris, you didn't put my agenda item on here, like, oh, yeah, that was 35 days ago, you know? And it's really, so if we had a time frame, then you would be expecting, you know, you'd begin compiling. We wouldn't be as much for my benefit as anybody else is not bombarding you sporadically throughout, you know, these windows with random agenda thoughts. I mean,
would that be done through a Google Doc?
Or email or anything? I don't
know. So that it comes up on a spreadsheet?
Or a spreadsheet? Or we could just submit them on a spreadsheet, maybe just a process or a way to submit agenda.
I can come up with something. Yeah. I can do that.
Yeah, I think it's a practice.
I mean, I think that's something we've always done, but like this, it formalizes
the week before, because the process that we had talked about on no agenda items past Monday, right?
So that was my next item, was the formally adopted documentation for board review to be made accessible to the board by 5 p.m. Monday, also no changes except for emergency situations to the agenda, you know, after 5 p.m. Monday. That was my
Okay, so we do have the format.
So there's some of that is in code, though. So Jim and I talked about it. So yes, the emergency cannot. It would have to be an emergency item after 12 on the day of the meeting. But we could. What we have agreed is that we won't add items for vote after close of business Monday. So that gives you time to review.
So I would still like to leave the option open to add things, because you never know what might come up again in those situations.
Oh,
but we would just try to minimize.
Yes, absolutely. No. It's an agreement. It's not a.
Perfect.
It's not
so
a,
it's not something we can.
No. You need to write that out. Just everything
yes,
that we kind of
yeah,
talked
about. Yeah, we've talked
about
numerous things, and I just thought that like we might want to just have some guidance that we've already established and just put it in writing, because that was some things I had sent out to the team, just like if you're going to have something we voted on. They need time to review, so let's try to get it on. Sometimes there may be, like, unfortunately, some of the finance things or the General Assembly closures and things like
that. And that's what I said. Like,
that's something
we'll deal with the exceptions.
The exceptions are exceptions, and it happens. But for general practice, we will not add items for vote after close of business Monday. And, you know, some of the things with our reports, you know, we just have a month, so some things happen later in the month, so we want to add to reports. But those things are on the agenda, and they're not voted on items. So, again, we're here to discuss them, so we need to ask
sure.
questions.
Right. And then you can even put the office hours in there. You can just make sure.
Yep, and then anything that we add after the initial posting, will that have the asterisk, so you can notice that really quickly.
The other thing I would mention is that Monday agenda is still a draft. It's a living document that things get added to and updated and refined. And so for the latest information, you know, Wednesday by noon is...
It's closed.
It's closed.
It is.
Right. So, like, just for the public, you know, listening to this and also just trying to understand, the agenda is a new... It is not stagnant. When it is first posted, there's lots of things that come in on the order of business, and it does change, and it will stay remain open, but will close on the noon of the board meeting Wednesday. Yeah.
And then you continue to see the updates through board docs.
Yeah.
So it's not, you know, it's live. So every time it's updated, the public can go on.
Yes. Okay.
I personally really like the store. Thank you. Because it made it like the other two, you and I discussed adding this agenda item that we're discussing now. And, you know, so when I went on there, I was like, cool, it's got stars. And I can just literally scroll through without reading anything and go, no other stars, I'm up to date.
Yeah,
you know,
what
that was really nice, actually.
Yeah.
Okay. And that's just easy to.
Sorry.
And that's internally for us after the
wins posted.
And
that's after we posted
it. After we posted
for
the week before.
Which were that week at the time of asking.
Yeah, would be included in that. And
right, you wouldn't have to have as many stars that.
Okay.
So that was my thoughts on the agenda based off of previous discussions and then what discussions you had.
So let's add an agenda item for August of discussion of these items that we've kind of put in place as our processes, which aren't voted on items, they're just internal processes. And then we can discuss that if there's anything we want to have or change. Do that at that time, just so it's
a discussion. Okay. So it looks like old business, a discussion, old business section that has been there in the past, a discussion section, a policy section, and then we'll work on a guidance document there for agenda and timeline.
So
and then we can move to executive session at any time. So I think that's okay. All right. Or at least for right now, we can revisit that if it becomes a concern. Yeah. Okay, anything else? Any other comments, questions, discussion items? Good? Okay. So item 7.6, Student Code of Conduct, Board Policy 5100, first reading revision.
Everyone. Hi. Today I am presenting a culmination of our committee that we comprised of multiple staff members across the district at various levels, including two of our board members. And we worked on this feverishly for over a month to get some immediate updates to you prior to the start of this school year. So that is 5100. Some of the highlights of that, we added a glossary to make some of the wording in the code of conduct understandable for the parents. Students' rights were moved from the back, the last pages, to the front of the policy. And there's more options of consequences for staff members. And there are three. There's one for elementary grade bands, one for intermediate, and one for secondary. Any questions?
Yeah. First is a request. If we're going to revise this and do it again, can we take the yellow away? It's really difficult on my brain.
So that is what I was told to do, to show you what the new stuff was. Strike out
the
old.
Thing was new.
Yeah, well, I thought about it.
I tried to read the white letters in some spots inside the yellow, and I'm like, oh, just give me a minute.
So I thought about, like, doing a line and highlighting the line and saying everything below was new. So in the future, for the next one, I will do that for you.
All red, I don't know, but the yellow was tough.
Okay.
Here's what I had on that. Pages need to be renumbered. Did you notice that?
So we
everything's
did,
a page of 17, but all the important ones are started 18.
So to explain that, when I struck out the original one, the 1 through 17 was the original policy, and when I added all the new ones that we would like to update it to, it didn't, like, revert back. I did go and update that, so now it does say 1 of 65.
Okay.
And obviously we'll remove the parts that we strike out, so... When we finalize this, then you vote on it. We'll make sure the numbers are correct.
All right. Page 20 of 17, paragraph 2, and then all the other two subsequent code of conducts in the same spot. I would like to add the Clayton Police along with the Smyrna Police.
Hold on. Where?
Page 20 of 17.
Paragraph
2.
School administration and in locus parentis rights.
I don't know why they did it. Oh, yeah. This is based off
the
one.
Oh, yeah, okay, the second paragraph. I'm sorry, I'm at the third.
So I would like to add the Clayton Police Department to that as well.
Yep, great.
And it would be redundant for all three. Just because, heaven forbid, that the Clayton gets there first and then somebody throws the penitentiary. The report of policy said Smyrna had that.
Then should we add state?
And then that was my next question. Should we then add state?
Same
all.
Yes,
because
they
are. Or say any and all law enforcement.
All law enforcement.
Yeah.
All law enforcement. In our jurisdictions.
Perfect. Yeah, there's something along that line. It's just, I hate to get into a legal conundrum because we did the right thing, but we didn't stamp the right box here.
Okay.
Page 26 of 17, under bullying, cyberbullying, I would like to add police notification to the subsequent list, which would be the third category. I believe it was listed on the previous, like on the second offense, but then it wasn't an option on the third offense.
Okay.
Which didn't make sense to me.
That might have just been
a clerical error, just as I was reading through them. So timeouts listed for an option in this high school one. So are we really expecting teachers to get 18-year-olds timeouts?
Well, I think the definition of a timeout in a school is different than what we're thinking of, like sitting you in the corner. So like the timeout at the high school would be you're taking a break to regulate from your dysregulation in the classroom, and you may just have a timeout from the classroom. So some 18-year-olds might get
that in the glossary terms again?
It is in there.
Okay.
It is in the glossary.
Missed it.
It's under SBIP in the glossary.
It was just under that head. Okay. Next on the list, on leaving page 40 of 17, leaving class, subsequent offense, SBIP time frame is not defined. And pretty much everywhere else in the vault of code conduct is defined with a time frame. Do we need a time frame for that?
We can work on that. We can add one, yes. Some of those are just looking at it for hours.
Yep.
People
I understand completely. Should we or do we need to define the term outside agency referral?
We did define that in the glossary. Outside. It should be.
Am I stuck under something else?
It should be alphabetized. Hold on. Let me
see.
Outside agency referral. Try 47 out of 17.
Process, yet normal stealing does.
What page are you on?
I don't know. I quickly page numbers as I got normal conduct last night.
Okay.
It's under intermediate, so it's on the last one, and it would be multiple pages because felony and stealing are on different sections.
And I think long term, when we look at our big term our big picture goals. I want to clean up the way they look because elementary and intermediate, they don't read the same as the secondary with the codes, so we'll clean that up at a later time too.
I'm just thinking, which we are $1,500.
It takes 30 years.
Like
30.
Okay. If we get it for, they stole a pack of pencils 6 months.
Yeah, we can get that updated accordingly. All right.
And then the last one I had, Jessica, was why is there restitution for cyberbullying only under intermediate school code of conduct?
That might be something that we forgot to remove.
Okay.
But if it's not in the other two, I can remove that.
So that was what I found reading through it last night. Or what anyone else has.
I had asked a question of Roger yesterday about consequences being different for staff and student sexual harassment, and that was explained to me, so I was satisfied with that explanation.
So I'll just say a comment first. Jessica and her team put together a team of everything we have in schools, teachers, administrators, counselors, special education, and had, I don't even remember how many meetings it was. I even missed one of them. But I commend you and that entire team. I mean, to get input from all aspects of the child care, I think was really great and the best way you could possibly do it. So I really think you did a great job. That entire team did a great job. It was open and honest in their conversations. It felt like they could have a conversation. Deb did a great job with it as well, orchestrating it. Everybody felt comfortable there to bring out. People disagreed with me, and it was great. You know, we could have that conversation and be able to work that out. So I commend you and that entire team. We don't have live streams, so not with Mrs. Smelter's here, so she was on the team. And so, the recording part. So I appreciate everybody that was involved with that. I think that was great to get feedback, to be able to update this. I think we took out cassette players as one of the audio devices that would get confiscated. Walkmans. Yeah, I think we took out that as well. Go ahead.
Not to cut you off, but the best part was like the last page, it had like student conduct and how they were supposed to behave, and the last statement was enough said with a bunch of exclamations.
So I would say that I think we did a great job of that, listening to the administrators. And to be honest, there are things that as people look at this, they will see some differences in there. And some people might think it's a little bit more strict than maybe it was in the past with things like being late to class and things. But my perspective, I can't speak for that whole committee, but we're here to try to be as efficient and as effective as we can while we have those students in the class or in the schools. So we need everyone to be focused on their education. And we need to try, and we also need everyone's buy-in for this as well. We need everybody in all the schools to understand what the code of conduct is and enforce it as a teacher or as an administrator or anybody in the school, and for the students to understand it of what the expectations of them are, because our number one goal is to make them productive members of society. And to be honest, you know, walk in the classroom in the middle or walk in the hallways in the middle of class for no reason is not helping that, you know. So there are things in here to kind of try to make everyone focus on the same thing, which is educating our kids and making them productive members of society. So I commend your team. I commend you and Deb and everybody involved with it. I just ask that for this document to do serve its purpose, it's going to take everyone in the entire Smyrna School District to look at it, understand it, and implement it. And if we don't have everyone's buy-in for that implementation, this document's, you know, not worth anything. So, but I commend you and the team. I think you guys did a great job. One correction I just did have, but would be the dress code. In past years, the ones I looked at before, we did have a section for the dress code, which was basically the enforcement of the dress code. And then this one doesn't have that in there. I would like us to look at to add back the dress code enforcement that we've had in the past. Not to...
Because we don't want them missing academic time.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. But I also think that if we don't have anything in there for the dress code, they're just going to say, well, I'm still going to put my hood up in class, or I'm still going to wear my earbuds.
I think going back to discussions over the years, that was handled through defiance.
Mm-hmm.
That we have an item, we have a dress code, everybody gets that. I think you do it in the opening day presentations, and it has always been handled as either defiance
or insubordination. Yeah.
And okay. I think that's explained in
the dress code.
It says that
it was updated
code.
In the dress code.
Well, it's that it says that exactly in the dress code, but I would say that we need to make sure that the administrators are understanding of that, aware of that, and everyone is expected to do it in that way. Because I know we've had, the hoodies is a perfect example, we've had problems with kids having their hoods up and not being able to identify them, or can be a safety issue, and nothing has been done about that. So we need to make sure that everyone is aware of not only...
They're allowed to wear hats, and they're allowed to wear coverings now. So
that thing
they're not allowed to wear hoods. Oh, they're allowed to wear a hoodie. They're not allowed to put their hood up over their head. It clearly says in the dress code.
There was... When that first came out, there was some discussion about the hoods. It's not going to be allowed when they're struggling head. It can't obscure their face.
I guess my big concern with the hood would be with these fancy little adventure airball things. The hood's up there, but I didn't know the kids pay attention to it or not.
Students may not wear any item that obscures their face or ears, except for religious observation.
You still could have a play with your ears.
You could wear a baseball cap.
Yeah.
You could wear a hat. No, I'm serious. Like, we've actually been hats. I'm not kidding. But they are allowed to wear hats.
Why are they allowed to wear hats?
We passed it a couple of years ago.
And was it that big of a demand to wear hats?
And the administration.
Actually, I think the high school administration asked us to do that.
The high school administration asked.
Just curious.
And actually, my girl loves that she's able to wear a hat. So...
Hat, as long as the hat does not cover the entire head or any part of the face.
And so the hoods are allowed. They just can't. They can have their hood on, and they can have their hood tucked on.
I've never seen anybody wear it like that.
I haven't either, but that would be interesting.
Middle school, it's quite frequent.
Well,
as the former middle school principal,
school.
I can tell you it is quite frequent, and often one of the issues as we did it, I was middle school principal at the time of the update, was... a lot of times our middle school students are at that emotional stage of uncomfort, a new hairstyle, different things cause them to start their day that way, and calling attention to some of the dress wasn't aiding in those situations. So, it was a committee of staff members, and we went through those things and prioritized what were the most important things to keep, everyone safe and students feeling comfortable with what they were wearing.
Well, I mean, I'd like to talk about it, because some of the staff I've talked to has had problems with the hoodies being on, and I wear quite a few hoodies, and I don't know how I could, I have big ears, and I don't know how I can hold it on my ears all the time, to be honest.
I understand, but it's not a personal preference that we're here for. It's to support the
not.
Administration that actually submitted that and came to us and asking to allow students to wear hats. So
that's
in the policy, and that's what we enforce currently. So
excellent. Thank you for the explanation.
Yeah. Okay, so I believe we've got item 7.6 to, so I'll entertain a motion.
I will move to accept the first reading of policy, student code of conduct board policy 5100 as submitted.
All right, I have a motion by Ms. Malik, a second by Mr. Snow for item 7.6 Student Code of Conduct, Board Policy 5100, first reading revision. Call for the vote now. Mr. Snow?
I have one quick question.
Mm-hmm.
How many readings will there be of this? Because we had a first reading last time, but it was the first and last reading.
Right, if there are minor changes in, like, the wording.
But
if it's a whole document, a whole bunch of changes.
So we'll make these revisions and when we're doing it.
Yes.
Perfect, thank you.
And I can get those to you by the beginning of next week.
Yeah, can we read it? Yes, absolutely. All right,
I'll call for
the vote now. Mr. Snow?
Aye.
Mr. Steuce?
Aye.
Dr. Wilson?
Aye.
Ms. Mallett?
Aye.
I vote aye. Motion carries 5-0. Thank you. Item 7.7, suspension and expulsion of school conduct, scope of code. Board Policy 5113, first reading revision.
Good evening. So tonight I am presenting 5113 to you to be updated through your first reading. This policy was last updated in 2004, so it is pretty old. And we, looking through the code of conduct, spending a lot of time on that, talking to all of the administration, we just want to bring this in line with our current State of Delaware regulation, Title 14-600, the school climate and discipline regulation. We are not really in line with that, so we want to get this up to date with that.
Question?
Yep. Paragraph 1, sentence 2, which would be what's in yellow here, is actually contradictory to the new code of conduct that we just read through, where it says a request may be made through district office to increase that school short-term suspension to 10 days. We may not exceed 10 days. In the code of conduct, it actually says that we can exceed 10 days, but it has to be approved through the superintendent.
So the way the regulation reads, there's what you call short-term suspension. That's up to 10 days per the regulation. The school principals usually give about 5 days for, you know, let's say two fights or something extravagant, you're going to get 5 days OSS. If you need to pass those 5 days to go to the 10, we would work as a district with them to make that decision. Once they get to that 10-day rule, the superintendent would then be the one who says they would be placed on a suspension pending alternative placement process. So it's not...
So this isn't prohibited to us down
yes.
the road?
Yes. So it's actually in line with the code of conduct that we have right now, that the principals can do 5 days and then the district can do up to 10, and then at that 10-day mark, per our superintendent and our climate group that we all talk about when we decide we're going to do those alternative placements with the admin teams, we would then tell the family you are out pending alternative placement process, and then we fall into that due process time period.
My next thing was in here. It says that a student may be informed orally or in writing. Can we make that orally and in writing? Because the problem with orally is we no longer have a paper trail, you know, for our end.
You're talking about the due process piece? I think it's the due process piece. It's the second bullet on page 2.
Yep.
Yes, we can...
So I would like there to be a paper trail, email, paper, choose your wording, but just tell them orally, and then they come back at us with a lawyer, and they're like, well, where's your documentation? And it's like, completely he said, she said. We have no backup to that.
So that is also in the reg that it writes that way. We can change it to be more formal the way you would like it to, but what I would like to put out there, if we have that due process delay provision here where you have a student who brings a gun to the school, we're not going to be able to type up something real quick and have them sign it to tell them you're out pending a hearing. And that's that oral piece. But we could put in there
oral
writing within three. Yeah, we could do something like
oral
that for sure.
Follow-up. And if we do it, that's great. But at least this way, if we have it,
yeah.
We have it documented.
Yeah, we do that, so that would be fine.
A question that falls with this, but doesn't have anything to do with that for the wording or anything. Is who is the alternative placement team? Like it was referenced here, I think it was referenced in the code of conduct.
So,
team.
currently we don't do alternative placement teams. That's something that we would like to add as a layer to our alternative placement process.
So we're going
to
get some of the building.
To be in line with
the regulation. The members of the team would be myself representing the district, at least one admin, sometimes more than one. It could be an associate and the principal. You would have the parent, the student, but they do, per the reg, they have to be informed. They do not have to show up. If they are special ed, we'd have special ed members with us. We would bring in, I was explaining earlier, like if they have a social worker or they're on probation, they might want to bring those to the table. And then you have a CDAP representative, which would be me for our district since I'm on their board. And you all come, maybe the school counselor, different people in the building that could be like a advocate for, you know, maybe their check-in buddy if we've started that process with them prior to the alternative placement process. People to support the student, and then the admin and myself to represent the district for the meeting.
What do we do now?
Now we offer them a waiver in the building level conference if that's what we agree upon, or we take them straight to a discipline hearing.
Okay. All right, and then one more thing, and then I'll be all done, I promise. Under scope of code of conduct, it said the code is in force on school property during after, you know, school bus and all school-sponsored events and other activities where school member administrators or staff have jurisdiction over students. Under the code of conduct, there is a fourth bullet that says criminal activity outside and away from school. Should we add that here?
Yes. We will add that for sure. I think that might have been
Because then they'll be both in line with each other.
And I think I don't know why it's not there, but I noticed on the bottom one I struck out, like the bottom one has that fourth bullet.
Yep.
So I will definitely add fourth bullet.
I didn't know if there was a reason or
I don't think there was a reason. It might have just been between the three code of conducts, I was copying and pasting a lot.
Trust me, when I got to this one, I was like, oh, do I just put this in the voice? No, I'm just going to power through it.
Okay.
And that was all I had on that one.
President, I move that we accept the first reading of the suspension and expulsion out of school conduct scope of code for policy 5113 as submitted.
I have a motion by Ms. Malik, a second by Dr. Wilson. Call for the vote. Mr. Snow?
Aye.
Mr. Skews?
Aye.
Dr. Wilson?
Aye.
Ms. Malik?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries 5-0. Item 7.8, procedure for readmittance of expelled students, board policy 5114, first reading revision.
Hello, everyone, again. I present to you 5114, policy 5114. This policy was last updated in 1990.
Oh, that's even before me.
This one, again, while looking through our policies and bringing you the code of conduct to update, we found this and was very quick to say we need to update this as well. I basically took the regulation and popped the regulation in here, changed some wording so it was easier to flow, and it's in line and with the regulation 600. I did strike out everything but number 4 because it had a lot to do with us expecting 14-year-olds to have jobs.
So the only question I have on here, it says that we have to review, student review for each student in alternative programs shall be completed on a quarterly basis. And that's Delaware regulation. And it says at a minimum a building principal, assistant principal will attend each review. Are you planning to do the review with that same committee that we discussed?
No.
Placement, or what would the review be there?
So the alternative placement team meeting, the alternative placement team will vary depending on the student, obviously.
Okay.
This review is done between Parkway, which is our CDAP alternative placement program, and usually Clarence and whoever Steph's disciplinary associate principal will go to the middle school review. I actually increased ours to quarterly. In the law, it says quarterly is recommended, but biannually is the firm. So right now, I think Clarence talks to them monthly anyway. We get monthly reports on them, and we always have one of our associate principals there. And if there's ever an issue, I have went to some of them before with the principal and the school counselor from Parkway. We all meet and talk to them. It's a totally different review.
It's not like a physical, everybody shows
this. No.
No. She also attends the CDAP. She's on the CDAP board. And so they have like a work session in the beginning of their meeting, and Parkway will talk about, you know, give an update of the kids in the entire school, give like attendance updates, counseling, credits received, things like that, and talk about some, you know, things, and then she'll kind of about particular kids with the administrators that are there. So there's a lot of review, there's a lot of acknowledgement of progress or not. So it's just a matter of just making sure that what we're paying for, what we're getting, what we're paying for, and the kids.
I will say, good catch on this one, because it was interesting reading what you instructed through compared to what I actually coached today. Because yeah. I'm like, what? And then I got some bottom school saying that you did 1990. I'm like, oh, that's why.
Well, just recently they changed the law that it was that if you were alternatively placed, expelled alternatively placed, you would lose your license. And then you could get the workover permit to drive to work. But they had, the state had taken that from
I do know that, I think I had mentioned it to Christopher, that you could arrange a meeting with Parkway. I know I took it forward when I first joined the board of just meeting it that I'm sure.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. They would love to have you guys come down. When they start, we can get that scheduled if you'd like to.
Were we going together or
we went somewhere?
Okay.
I think they want to be on.
Yeah, so it's just, you know, if our students were placed there, it's always just nice to take a tour of it. So. Thank you.
If a student enrolls in the Smyrna School District and is currently expelled from another school district, the student must follow the information procedure. How do we communicate between school districts and make sure that we know somebody's not trying to pull a fast one on something like that? Okay.
It would only be if they were physically moved.
Yes,
well,
we
physically move, we still contact them.
Yeah.
And that's where they are. And now they pay the bill, not us.
So there is communication there, so we know.
And at those CDAP meetings, the people in my position and all of the King County School Districts are there, so we all kind of talk about that. Polytech, it actually just joined CDAP because in the past they'd have to call and beg one of us for our spots. And now they're going to start putting tuition into there, too.
Madam President, I move that we accept the first reading revision of the board policy 5114, procedure for readmittance of expelled students as presented.
Second. A motion on the table by Dr. Wilson, a second by Ms. Snell. I've got a call for the vote now. Mr. Snell?
Aye.
Mr. Stoops?
Aye.
Dr. Wilson?
Aye.
Ms. Malley?
Aye.
I vote aye. Motion carries 5-0.
Thank you all for your time.
Yes, thank you, Doug.
Thank you.
Thank you for all your hard work. Okay. Item 8, personnel.
Madam President, I move that we accept the recommendations regarding personnel for items 8.1 through 8.10 as presented.
Second.
A motion by Dr. Wilson, a second by Mr. Snell. Call for the vote now. Mr. Snell?
Aye.
Mr. Mr. Hughes?
Aye.
Dr. Wilson?
Aye.
Ms. Mallett?
Aye.
I vote aye. Motion carries 5-0.
Cool. So I believe we have a...
Will we have a big, personnel miss next meeting for those academic students?
Probably.
Yes, we will. Positive thinking. There are a lot of stuff on the list. We'll see.
Absolutely. Well, I do want to mention one of our new hires is in the audience today. So, Steph, if you'd like to introduce.
This is Jason Pasro. He's joining us at the middle school. Be in a
second.
Welcome. Thank you very much. Congratulations. All right. Next item is number 9, student matters.
Madam President, I'd like to make a motion to approve item 9.1, student matter 2022-16, as recommended by the administration.
Awesome.
On the table last time.
All right.
Would you like to withdraw your motion?
I would like to withdraw my motion.
All right, no problem. Yes.
Madam President, I would like to remove the table student matters from the July 6th meeting that was on.
Second.
That's why we need an old business staff back.
All right.
And that's the lesson you were trying to teach us right
there. Is that on purpose?
That was on purpose.
You're driving that point home.
Well played.
You're not helping him, Mr. Snow.
Only true friends.
Okay, I have a motion to remove the item from the table by Mr. Snow, second by Ms. Malik. No more discussion. Call for a vote. All right, Mr. Snow. Mr. Skews.
Aye.
Dr. Wilson.
Aye.
Ms. Malik.
Aye.
I vote aye. Motion carries 5-0. All right, that...
I would like to remind everybody that we're voting to accept the recommendation. That was the motion that was tabled. So we are voting to accept the recommendation presented to us.
Second. Oh,
I don't
have a second. All right. So, Mr. Snow.
Aye.
Mr. Skews.
Aye.
Dr. Wilson.
Aye.
Ms. Malik.
Aye.
I vote aye. Motion carries 5-0. Okay. I believe that concludes everything. The meeting is adjourned at 8:29.
That's the rule.
That's the rule.
Turn up the temperature on the thermostat. I was like shivering back there. Oh, I'm gonna be wearing one. Don't worry.
Thank you.
But yeah.
Well,
I think I'll see you guys next meeting.
So I told both my daughter, who's gonna be a sophomore, and Matthew, who's gonna be in eighth grade, and she was happy that I'm not going to the high school. He was just, okay, whatever. He He's 13, a 13-year-old boy, so. Oh, yeah. Are you serious? Then you gotta tell him your secret, because I gave him a car and it's AirPod phone. And I try to have a conversation with him, he's like, no. One more to answer. So, that's awesome. Thank you. I'm looking forward to it. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, I know. It's at 6 miles. I think I Googled it from my house to the parking lot. 6 miles. And the high school now starts early, and I like to get in early. So I'm thinking to myself,